Let's take your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. As we look carefully in the Word of God tonight, as you turn your place in this chapter, the first few verses in this chapter, the first half of them, deal with obedient children, and then the last half of the chapter deals with obedient husbands and wives, which bring us to the theme of the chapter, which is a godly home. Our key verse, of course, is verse 11, where it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And I don't have to join anything to find out what's wrong with them.
Hey.
I'm not the government.
Right.
I don't put spies out. I don't stand behind deception. We stand in truth.
Right.
Amen. It's okay for a government to do that, but church ain't supposed to be doing that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And I notice as we pick up in verse 15 tonight, he gives us an instruction here about something I'm going to preach about. He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." I could be mean tonight and call this message, "You foolish Christians." Because sometimes Christians act foolish according to that.
Right.
I could be overly nice and say, "You wise Christians." But then your head would get puffed up and you couldn't fit out the door.
Hello?
You'd have to be a wise Christian in here. But I want to talk to you about walking in Ephesians. Walking in Ephesians. Take your Bible and look back in chapter 2, verse 2. I'll look at these occurrences, the words walked and walk in Ephesians, and I'll bring you a message about this walking in Ephesians. When we say to walk in Scripture, that refers a lot of times, it denotes the state of a soul before God. And God commanded Abraham, saying, "I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be perfect."
Yeah.
And we look down here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "Where in time past you walked," past tense, "according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the children now worketh in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So in chapter 2, verse 2, he reflects how your soul, what your soul's state used to be. It used to be directed by another spirit and another God. And that God is the god of this world, Satan.
Right.
He's still over this world. When he offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world, he had them to offer. The day's coming for Satan, though, that he won't have them kingdoms to offer.
Right.
The king is coming, and when he comes, he's going to come with a vesture dipped in blood. He's going to be the king of kings and lord of lords. He's going to take all that back.
Amen.
Notice this one. If you look over in chapter 2, verse 10, he says about saved people, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our soul state before God after we get saved is God has already got a plan to use you for his glory.
Right.
And looking at that, he said that about this thing, he before ordained it. And what he before ordained was that you would do good works after you get saved. People that try to do good works before they get saved, they don't ever make it. They're never quite good enough.
Right.
Because God's righteousness and perfection is in Christ Jesus, and you never add up to him.
Right.
If you look down at chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says there, Paul points this out. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called," that you walk worthy. That your soul be found worthy walking before the Lord and doing what he says at the vocation. That's where God places you at. Whatever God places you doing. Chapter 4, verse 17. He says down there in chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Why are they like that? The next verse says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What happened to them? Nothing. They've never been saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pointing out he's going to bring Jew and Gentile, their soul state before the Lord's in the church after Christ, see. And other Gentiles walk around, and boy, they've got things nowadays where they try to make themselves out to be the bishop and the pope and this, that, and other over all these things. And I'm not even talking about the Catholics yet. And they try to be lords over God's heritage and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But he points out, he said, not to walk as they walk.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to be respectful of the men of God that God places in your life and to be like that. But there's only one pastor of the church. And listen, there ain't no bishop over that thing.
Right.
Somebody call the Church of God and the Methodists and tell them, listen, you don't need that district director. Pull out of that wicked thing and be independent, amen.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? That'd be a good one to preach down to Methodist church, wouldn't it? You need to be an independent, baby-sprinkling Methodist, you know.
Well.
They didn't preach like that music kid, did they? Okay. Go over to chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2, he says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering of sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor." Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to you, and he says, walk in love like he did. Why? Because you can give yourself as a sacrifice to him.
Right.
That's how that works. And he's talking about your soul state before God. The only verse we've looked at so far where somebody's lost is chapter 2, verse 2. All the rest of them's for saved people. And if you'll notice, chapter 5, verse 8 right down here says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Literally, look at that. He said, you belong to Jesus. Live like you belong to Jesus.
Right.
And I noticed that in chapter 5, verse 15, the last one we looked at, we see here, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." To be circumspect literally is something that's think carefully about something and about possible risk before doing or saying something. And the word circumspect, if you trace the origins of that word back so far, it has to do with a locust. And a locust is very careful in the selection of its direction. Them things don't just fly out there. They are going a particular direction when they go somewhere. And the reason being, they're being very selective about their diet. When they get their mind on what they're supposed to have and where it's at, they go that direction. They don't go no other. My wife showed me something on the way over here that when cows stand to eat together, they all point the same direction. They're either north or south. I thought that was just amazing when they're all standing on the ground together. They're very selective about their diet too, by the way. And if you're one of them people that eats grass and calls yourself a vegan whatever thing, let me tell you something. Quit eating my food's food.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Quit eating my food's food. And listen, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. God said we could have that meat.
Right.
And unless something medically happens to me, the doctor says you absolutely positively cannot have another bite or you die, I'm going to eat it till I die.
Amen.
And we're going to eat turkey and chicken and pigs and everything else. Because listen, we're not under no Old Testament law. It's sausage time in the morning and bacon time in the evening.
Yep.
And hamburgers with cheese on them for everybody.
Amen. Amen.
And then come payday, it's steak time. Amen. Right?
Amen.
That's how you used to tell when everybody got paid in Gaffney, you'd go by Quincy and see if it's full. Thursday, the crowd is kind of slim, but Friday, whoosh, there they was.
Yeah.
Right. When we look at this thing, there is a warning about walking, though, and the warnings go like this. We need to be careful about several things in the Bible. He warns us about our walk, our soul standing before God. Number one is we need to be careful about our partners. Our partners. If you look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We need to be careful about our partners. And here's why. The Bible says this. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now get this. He said, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" It, looking at that verse, I've heard somebody say one time that was being very critical of folks that believe you separate from lost folks, say this. They said, well, Jesus ate with sinners. You go back and read where Jesus ate with sinners, they were saved sinners. Zacchaeus, salvation has come to thy house. I'm coming to your house today. Lord, if I stole anything, I'll pay it back.
Yeah.
Save sinner. But I want to point out to you here that when he says, "Do not be," he said, "not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers," you got to be careful who you partner with.
Right.
That has to do with marriage. Because if you marry a lost person, guess what you're going to be in about 3 more years? Maybe 5. If you get in business with a lost person, One day you're going to show up to your business and look in the checkbook and it's going to be blank. And you're going to say, what happened? He just followed out that spirit to work for them children of disobedience. You remember that one you left behind? Well, he still had it. He didn't mind stealing. He might have even made up a reason why it's good for him. Be careful of your partners. Be careful of your partners. Folks that you hang around with all the time, you become like them.
Right.
And listen, before you even come to me tonight and say, well, preacher, you don't understand what a great influence I am on people. You make me want to cuss saying that, so don't do that. You're influencing me when you say that, okay?
Yep.
And I see all the rest of your converts following you around, so I kind of don't believe that, okay? I love it when people tell me that and they ain't got no converts.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a great influence on people. How many of you haven't led the Lord? Well, none, but okay.
Yeah. Come on.
Obviously, you don't have a good testimony with people around people. I don't know. But I see he said there in verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial's the devil. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? See that? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Mm-hmm. And here's what he instructs them to do. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We don't separate to tell everybody how we separated. We separated because we love him and we want to be with him.
Right.
And see, you got to be careful about your partners because sometimes people that's hooked up with Belial here, they'll ruin you. They'll ruin you. You say, not me. I'm still young and strong. And yeah, I know. I used to be too. And then one day I grew old in a day and I thought, man, where did time go? Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, what agreement have the temple of God with idols?
Right.
What agreement do they have together? See, by you not showing up says a lot about that thing. When somebody says, oh, listen, if you just come down to my church where we got contemporary worship and we got naked girls washing cars and all this other stuff, you'd want to fall in with us and join us. No, I wouldn't. I'm trying to get away from all that.
Right. I'm
trying to get away from it. Well, if you just come to one service, that's what them liberals tell y'all. Like, if you just come to one service, you'd understand what a great church we have. Mm-hmm. I watched them on TV last week, and I'll tell you something. 10 minutes into it, I was done. I don't go for that stuff.
Yep.
I come here to the house of God to worship him and get in this book, neither of which I seen anything of on that outfit.
Come on.
Say, which one was it? Probably your favorite one you watch on TV, whichever one that is. That's probably the one I was watching too.
Come on.
Your Creflo Dollars, your Benny Hens, and the whole crowd.
Right.
I don't like none of them.
Amen.
So you kind of got a bad attitude. 47 years to get this way. You ain't going to change me by acting like a liberal and getting mad.
Right.
I always find it kind of humorous how when people talk about the King James Bible to me, when they're talking about it, they're mad as a hornet when they start. I'm kind to them, and then when I find out who they're talking about that said all this stuff, it was me that said it, and I got the tapes, and I didn't say it like they said it. Ain't that strange?
Yeah.
You got to be careful about your partners.
Amen.
There was a thing on Facebook here recently where Ed McAbee preached on why he couldn't be friends with somebody who wasn't using the King James Bible. I think that was back about 15 or 20 years ago. Figure that thing out.
Come on.
Hey, listen. Why is it when somebody stands up for something, everybody says, oh, what's wrong? You can't do it. You can't just go dropping bombs on innocent people, Mr. Trump. He didn't drop bombs on innocent people. He dropped them on the guilty.
Right.
You know why? They'd asked them to stop and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's consequences when you fool with somebody like that.
That's right.
Listen, they don't get mad and put vague book posts up on you. They drop bombs on your where you live.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Tweet that, baby. Right?
Amen.
Look at this. You got to be careful about your purse. When I say your purse, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Be careful with your purse. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. He asked the question, will a man rob God? And he answers it, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says right here, in tithes and offerings. You see that? What does that make a person that don't tithe and don't bring an offerings? They are called a God robber. They rob God. You say, well, I can't afford it. Yeah, you can. I've been checking on some things this week. I know how much snuff and cigarettes and marijuana and cocaine cost. And I'll tell you something. If you'd cut half that stuff out, and your beer and your wine and all this other garbage, you'd have plenty of money.
Right. Yeah.
I hear all the time, well, you Baptists don't preach on nothing. I try to cover every subject.
Yeah.
I don't want y'all to be misled and underfed. I want you to have everything.
Right.
And I know this. If these preachers that come along and say, well, we don't never preach on money at our church. We even put an offering plate back at the back, a little box, we can slip it in there. I read a study on that thing. And do you know that churches that quit doing that and start doing back offering plates, the offering goes up 90%? 90%. Say, are y'all gouging people for money? Not hardly. I mean, you see all these beautiful chandeliers we've charged you for in here already, right? We see all that 3-inch carpet you walked in on tonight. You see these beautiful stained glass windows you got here? We ain't wasting your money. In fact, we take stuff here and try to get the gospel out with it, because that's what you're supposed to do as a church, not spend millions of dollars on a building you meet in 3 hours a week. That's foolishness.
Right.
Foolishness. Amen? Listen, amen. Foolishness. I'd rather have a simple building down here and put all the treasures up over yonder, because I'm going to spend way more time over yonder than I am down here.
Amen.
I notice he points out, well, a man robbed me. He's going, how'd we rob you, Lord? And tithes and offerings. Look at verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So not only when you don't tithe, it not only affects you, you're cursed with a curse, but notice that thing right there. Even this whole nation. So I guess what I'm getting at is, if we take this thing literal, which we do take the Bible literal, now you know what's wrong with America. We got a bunch of God-robbing thieves over here. That's why our nation's so in debt. Have y'all ever thought about that before? That could quite possibly be the answer to every president saying, I'm going to balance the budget. Tell them to tithe at your local church.
Amen.
So ain't you worried about where they tithe? I don't care where they tithe. That's between them and God. God will take care of that. But I know this, if our 85% of Americans said they're saved was tithing, I believe our whole nation would probably have revival just on that.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be some of these preachers that run around here pastoring 100, 200 people making about $100 a week. They'd get a raise and they wouldn't know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We was talking with one of our preacher friends today, me and my wife, and we was talking with him, and he said, tell me that story again about Jimmy Robbins kicking him flowers off him table. I said, that's one of the best things I ever heard in my life. Back in 1971, I wish that had cell phone video things back then. Lord impressed Brother Robbins under the sweet spirit of the Holy Ghost to jump up on the communion table and kick the flowers clean against the wall. Once he had everybody's attention, he said, who's the treasurer in here? That little trembling hand that man went up said, I think I am. Could you imagine that scene? First night of revival, before he says, turn in your Bibles. Like, boom, communion table, flowers against the wall. He said, how much do you pay the man of God? And they told him what it was. He said, bless God Almighty, my people tip me more than that. I pray God kill all of you. That pastor back in 1971 said he got his pay tripled. They had revival that week and the weeks following. Even this whole nation. Wonder how that affects the church to carry dead weight on your roll like that that don't tithe at your church.
Right.
You reckon that power of God gets held back sometimes on people?
Mm.
Notice this. You got to be careful of your partners. You got to be careful of your purse, where you spend your money at. And listen to this. Let me help Christians out all over the place here tonight, especially here with you. Please pay your bills and pay them on time. I understand forgetting every once in a while and all this other stuff, but this thing about where they got to call you and hunt you down, you need to quit that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to quit that. You need to pay. Listen, thou shalt pay thy bills, if you want to put it in King James English.
Right.
But you need to do that.
Yeah.
If you've agreed to do something, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, that makes me have a headache thinking about it. Well, good. Maybe you'll quit going out making bills you don't need.
Amen.
I like it. Listen, I'll shout me on if you don't listen. I'll get that cell phone to talking here in a minute if you don't.
Amen.
It'll say good preaching, Dr. Little. It's not prejudice like you are. It likes all of it.
Right.
Amen. But you also got to be careful about your presence. Psalm 37:23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That good man is Jesus Christ. You and I are Christians. That means we follow him. If we're following him, verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall be better cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hands. You won't fall very far. He'll get you. But when you're following him, you got to be careful where you go, because everybody's watching you, and where you go, they think he's going.
Come on.
Now, I know there's a bunch of hair-splitting legalists out here and all this other stuff. As you can see, I'm not one of them. But there's a lot of people that take that thing to a far extreme. I don't want to take it to an extreme. I want to take it right where Jesus is.
Right.
I want to follow him. And listen, when they come up to you in a restaurant and they say, the only place we got open is the bar. Bye. Not sitting there.
Right.
Well, we don't serve liquor on Sunday. Yeah, you do. That's what they had that vote about last year.
Come on.
That's what everybody's going to think when I walk in there.
Yep.
Is that what they do to you?
Come on.
Smoking or non-smoking? Non-smoking. Why? Because if I sit there, they're going to think I smoke.
Yep.
Not being mean to them. That I can't. I got issues. I can't take it. But listen to me. You got to walk circumspectly about this stuff. Be careful about your presence where you let yourself go. Be careful about your presence when you're dealing with other women. I don't let women ride in the car with me unless my wife's in the front seat riding with me. Well, if they need a ride, preacher, they can put that thing right there. I'll probably get more rides than I ever could. Put that thumb out there. If you're in a mess and you need help, that's one thing. But generally, I notice this. When I see men and women riding together, they usually ain't going somewhere. It's an emergency. They usually go into bad places.
Right.
Listen to me. Be careful where you go.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, be careful where you go.
Right.
Don't pick up these men hitchhiking.
Amen.
Even if you know them. So wait till I can go get my husband. We'll come back and get you.
Yeah.
And in case if you ain't got a husband, we got 3 or 4 good strong men here. We'll go back with you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go check that out for you. Listen. I wouldn't want to be involved in something where people say, now, is that your wife? And it's not my wife.
Yeah.
Now, they've asked me that about my oldest daughter before because I'm so young looking. I understand that. Is that your sister? No, it's not my sister. It's my daughter. I understand that. But, dear friend, listen. Don't be caught out like this.
Yeah.
Be careful about where you're going.
Amen.
A fellow told me one time, so let's ride through the parking lot of this place called Hooters. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, because as sure as I do, Channel 7 will be on the other side of that building filming. Here comes KJV 1611 right around the corner there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my phone's going to go, ba-ding, and it's going to check me in on Facebook, whether I want it to or not, and there I'll be.
Yeah.
And I'll never be able to explain that one.
Uh-uh.
I said, if you'll ride through Hooters, I'll let you out, and you walk on over. Oh, no, I was just kidding. I said, okay. I don't go to places like that.
Okay.
I don't care how good the chicken is, you understand?
Right.
That's what I hear. The chicken wings are great there. I'm sure they are. But I think you're there for more than chicken if you go into that thing.
Come on.
I like to go wear all their clothes, not half of them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Be careful. Look at John chapter 2. Be careful about your partners. Be careful about your purse. Be careful about your presence where you go to. And down at the end of John chapter 2... Be careful about who you promote. Be careful about who you promote. John chapter 2, verse 24, or verse 23, back up one. Said, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I think it's clear on our instruction there, be careful who you promote. Do you know that Jesus just didn't promote people and say, boy, that's a good one right there if I ever seed one?
Yeah.
Never said that. In fact, Jesus just did the opposite, and so did preachers that's called by him. Why, it was the positively speaking John the Baptist with the uplifting message of you generation of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It was the Apostle Paul, when he got through preaching, they didn't take up offering, they took up stones on him.
Right.
And listen, they loved Jesus' preaching so much that they killed him.
Right.
Listen to this. You've got to be careful about who you promote, because it seems here lately that no matter who it is getting promoted, the devil attacks that target.
Yeah.
I've heard of the next biggest thing in this town over and over and over and over. And they'll flock to the next biggest thing. Then the next biggest thing runs off with the piano player. And then they run to the next biggest thing. And then he runs off with the deacon's daughter. And then they flock to the next biggest thing. And it just keeps happening over and over and over. There's two reasons why that happens. Number one, God's people can be deceived, and God don't want them to worship anybody but Jesus, so he will thump them off the pedestal you own.
Right.
Number two, the Bible says, be sure your sins, plural, will find you out. You don't monkey around in the ministry and do stuff like that, and God not let that thing go on for a while. He gives you space for repentance, and then he jerks the rug out.
Right.
I've heard somebody say one time when all these guys get called, that's the devil pulling back the sheets. Oh, no. That's God pulling back the sheets on them. That's God allowing that to happen to them, because he don't want somebody following some reprobate like that that's going off and doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The next biggest thing. Oh, you ain't heard of such and such preacher. I heard one a while back. He said he was the next biggest thing. They told me, said, you got to have him in your church. I said, well, I'll talk to him one day. I meant to talk to him too. By the time I asked his pastor about him, he'd done get back to shooting drugs in his arms.
Yep.
You worried about you backsliding and doing something? What if that was what you backslid into?
Yep.
Now, out of the ministry, completely out, putting dope in his arms.
Yep.
I've heard him come along and tell me, well, this pastor right here, he's going to be the next big Billy Graham. Bless his heart. He's got that much money? Bless his heart. He don't get to make it out of South Carolina good or out of North Carolina good, then he ain't got a girlfriend on the side. We can't have that. That ain't the next biggest thing.
Right.
Be careful about how you promote these people, because when you start promoting them, the devil says, I see them too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of them are as right as rain and called of God as I am and you are and everything else. But once we start promoting somebody other than Jesus, boy, the devil says, I like that one too. He's a good one. I like him.
Right.
It's funny how that sometimes these people get up in these singing groups and talk about how they just, oh, God just brought them together. And you'll see a man and woman in the back trying to hold hands while they're up there singing. They're not each other's husband and wife.
Right.
What happened to them? That is the next biggest thing.
Yeah.
Look at what Jesus said now. Verse 24. He said he did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was, see this, what was in man. This book says our heart is desperately wicked.
Right.
Jeremiah to the people of God, not Jeremiah to the Philistines.
Yep.
You and I have got a saved soul and a very wicked flesh it sits in.
Yep.
Until the day of redemption of your body, the rapture of the church, you will be as wicked now as you was when you was lost. In fact, your flesh, if you are not careful, and you're not careful who you promote, your flesh, you act like some of these people I'm talking about, and you'll ruin yourself over the fact that you have been promoted. God is not looking for your pride. He's looking for your humility. He's not looking for you to be promoted. He's looking for you to demote yourself and promote Jesus Christ. And see, the problem we get into a lot of times is we try to promote everything but Jesus, and God don't like that.
Right.
And this bunch, it says, well, now, you know, the Old Testament God, he's not like that no more. Yes, he is. And he's like that in the New Testament as well. Remember, it's this Jesus that come in with that made that scourge of cords and run the temple out when they're selling CDs in the house of God. That was that Jesus. Why did he do that? Because they was ripping people off. Oh, bless your heart. All this money's going to missions. We're taking up these CDs. And it's not. It's going in $400,000 houses and Cadillacs and big old cars.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
Somebody says that to you in a meeting, don't you do me a favor. Get a list of the missionaries they promote and how much you send them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're doing that, they won't mind giving you the list.
That's right. Amen.
Yep.
And many more. Right?
Amen.
Listen to me. There's one thing that you've got to be very careful of, and that's who you promote. When you promote somebody other than Jesus and you God's child, he's gonna demote them.
Right.
He's going to take them out of power.
Cool.
Because he'll have none stand before Jesus and be ahead of him.
Yep.
Why? Because he knows what's in man.
Yeah.
I want you to notice this tonight. As we look at this thing, we're talking about walking and how your soul stands before God. As a Christian, listen, this message is for Christians to warn them about this. What if your soul doesn't stand before God at all right now? What if your soul standing before God is you are L-O-S-T? It is time for you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And listen, don't wait around for God to pick you out of a crowd and say, "And I'll know the time when God wants me to come." No, God tells you the time, and I'll tell you when the time is. Right now. He said, now is the day. Now is the time. All whosoever will may come. God's invitation is open right now. I'm so sick of hearing people in Sauls telling me, "Well, I'll know when it's time." It's already time. Let me prove that to you. Look over Titus chapter 2. God's already sent the call out. God has already sent the call out. Say, "Preacher, does the Spirit of God deal with men?" He's dealing with them right now. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," look at this next word, "hath," past tense, "hath appeared," past tense, "to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purified himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works." The call is already out there. See, the grace of God's already been given out there. See, that's half of salvation. For by grace, through faith. God's salvation's out there. He's extended the grace of God, and it already hath, past tense, appeared, past tense, already there. The call's out there. Will you respond to his call tonight? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.